is one that I don't think we were familiar with a week or two ago, but it's a good old song and some good truth there that we are more than conquerors. It is wonderful, the victory we have in Jesus. And so we can praise him today because God is a delivering God. That's what he's all about. He is not about setting us back. He's not about getting us for our sin. He is a just God and he is a holy God, but he is a loving and merciful God, and we can take him at his word when he says that. He is a delivering God and wants to bring salvation into all of our lives. But he leaves the choice up to us. He doesn't choose you. You choose him. You exercise your faith in what Jesus did. And when you respond to the work of Jesus Christ, he responds to you in providing you the deliverance that you need in your life. Nothing else will fill that void in your life except for Jesus and his forgiveness. And so I hope you know him today. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9 this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 9. With the Madrids away, I have the opportunity to preach the next four Sunday mornings, Lord willing. And I would like us to start into some thoughts through these weeks on what the world is looking for. 2 Samuel chapter 9, let me join you there in my copy of the Word of God. What is the world looking for? I'd like us to explore that a little bit the next several weeks and see what character traits I believe the Christian must be demonstrating to the world. Of course, there's many we could look at, but I tried to kind of narrow it down because there's some key ones. There's some top characteristics that the world insists must be in our lives. That is what they are looking for, or they will reject it all, and they'll say, "I'm not interested." If Jesus can't give you what I think you should have in your life, then I'm not interested. So what is the world looking for? The first characteristic that I would like us to focus on this Sunday is compassion. And I'd like to just simply title this message this morning, Genuine Compassion. Genuine compassion. We could also throw in the word love. We could also throw in the word kindness or care. But that's the subject I would like us to consider this morning. Are we the kind of compassionate people that the world insists we should be? That God has exemplified so clearly to us as he has shown us his kindness and mercy. Are we demonstrating that to those around us? I wonder how often people reject Christ and the truth of God's love because they do not see it to be a reality in the lives of those who claim to follow him. I think I shared this story a little bit in the past. I'm not going to go into detail. Just to summarize real quick, I remember a time when I met a lady at her doorstep in a trailer park. And when she realized that I was a believer in Jesus Christ and I would call myself a Christian, when she realized that I was a Christian, she became very antagonistic. She did not have respect for Christians. In fact, she told me she believed that all Christians were hypocrites. Now, it was very sad. She must have had some bad experiences in her past. And sadly, there are many Christians who are hypocrites. And that's a whole other message that we're not going into deep today, but we should, because we have to constantly check ourselves. Are we matching with our lives what we claim to be, what we say with our mouths, or what the Word of God says we should be? Do we match that? Or are we justifying sin? Are we just kind of living life our own way instead of the way God prescribes for us to be living? So we could certainly spend a lot of time doing some self-examination some introspection and asking ourselves, are we truly living an honest life? So she was bringing up some good points, because sadly there are Christians who are not living the way they should be. But I challenged her and said, well, how about it's time that you see some real Christians the way they are supposed to be? Because they do exist. And she had a hard time believing that they existed. She thought it was all fake. She believed that Christians aren't genuine. But she needed to see a true demonstration of God's love in her life. And folks, I want us to realize this morning that the world is looking for a genuine compassion, genuine care, genuine love. They're looking for that, and they're looking in many different places and not finding it. Some religions out there try to imitate it, but only through the power of Christ can one truly demonstrates sacrificial love as he did. And so what is the world looking for? First of all, I want us to think about they're looking for compassion. And we must show the world compassion and love and the mercy of our Savior, Jesus Christ. They need to see it from us. If they're going to be attracted to Jesus, if they're going to be drawn to the love of God, then God will use us to do that. He wants to use us, which is an amazing thing. We don't deserve to be used of God in that way, but he will use us, and it is our responsibility to demonstrate what we have received. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 9, we have a wonderful story of King David showing compassion to someone who did not deserve it. Someone who was an enemy. Someone who was not, he had problems in his life. But yet David went out of his way to show compassion to a man named Mephibosheth. Try saying that 10 times fast. Mephibosheth. So, not right now, please. So in 2 Samuel chapter 9, we have a wonderful story. And I'd like to dive into that this morning and see what we can learn from it, so that as we go into this week, we can be reminded this is how we're supposed to be living, and this is what the world is looking for. Just to give you a little context leading up to 2 Samuel chapter 9, you have the books of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel in the Word of God. 1 Samuel deals much with the life of King David. Of course, you have Saul in there, you have the prophet Samuel. Lots of different things wrapped up in the book of 1 Samuel, but a large portion of it is dedicated to David's early years. And so you remember in the book of 1 Samuel, and kind of summarizing the life of David, you have how he was appointed, I think it was chapter 16, to be the next king of Israel. The prophet Samuel went and was looking through all the sons and of Jesse, and it ended up being the last one that God had chosen, the shepherd, David. They said, call him in. And they anointed him to be the next king of Israel. Chapter 17 is the story of David and Goliath. And God did an amazing thing through that young man to teach his people a powerful lesson that the power of God is not limited. God is victorious. He's a delivering God. And no giant is too big for God. And God used David in an amazing way. David killed Goliath. There was a great victory. And what then it turned into was King Saul had jealousy toward David. So remember how that happened, and David ended up running for his life and wandering in the wilderness for a while, hiding from Saul, and all kinds of different things happened. We're not going to go into all those details, but David spent many, many years, many days spent running for his life in the wilderness, going from one place to the next, fighting battles, finding shelter in different places, encountering Saul at least twice. We'll reference that here in a little bit later. But then later in the book of 1 Samuel, you come to the point to where King Saul and his son Jonathan, a good friend of David, were killed on the battlefield. They were killed, and that was, of course, a change for then David as well, because he was appointed already to be the next king of Israel. He was patiently waiting for that time and letting the Lord do his plan and work out all the details, and God was doing that, and Saul and Jonathan were both killed in battle. David went into a time of mourning for King Saul, his enemy, a man who was trying to kill him, and yet he recognized that was the anointed king of Israel, the one who God had put into that position, and he spent time mourning over the death of Saul. Then David was made king over Judah, first of all, and there was turmoil in the kingdom, in the tribes of Israel during that time, because a guy named Ishbosheth was trying to take power before David could take power or somebody else. He got in there quick and tried to rally, armies around him so that he could get power in the northern tribes of Israel. But then that civil war took place and Ishbosheth was killed, and David then became king over all of Israel, not just Judah. And then that kind of brings us up to where we're at in 2 Samuel chapter 9, but first notice chapter 8 there, and we'll summarize this a little bit, chapter 8, in a bit. But in chapter 8, at this point, you see that David is getting very established. In fact, his kingdom is fully established by chapter 8. And the surrounding kingdoms are scared of him. They're not fighting with him, or he subdued them. And so David's kingdom is now fully established and secure in 2 Samuel chapter 8. And then we come to 2 Samuel chapter 9, where we see the story of David showing kindness to Mephibosheth. And so as we study and think about compassion and love a little bit this morning, I want us to see, first of all, number one, when to show compassion. When do we show compassion? Is it when we feel like it? Is it when we have the means to? Is it seasonally? You know, like Christmas time. Everyone's showing compassion and love and getting together at Christmas time. So is it a seasonal thing? Is it when someone maybe has a birthday? Then you do it. You know, show them a little love. Or Valentine's Day. Do we do it at Valentine's Day? Is it a seasonal thing, or is the answer maybe something we don't want to know because it's going to obligate us to probably live a little different, maybe a lot different? When, number one, when to show compassion? When should the Christian be showing love? When should the Christian be going out of their way to show kindness to others? Well, look at here in the story in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Well, really chapter 8. Because the first thing I want to bring out is when to show compassion? Well, when your kingdom is established. Because that was what happened here in chapter 8, as we already went through. Just look over some verses and you'll see how that happened. David's kingdom now was fully established. It was secured. He was dominant over the surrounding kingdoms. They were either subservient to him or they were too scared to try to attack him. By the way, that's some good global world diplomacy going on there, okay? That would be great in our day, all right? So David was so strong that no one wanted to touch him. He smote the Philistines. He smote Moab. He defeated the king of Zobah, the Syrians. So if you look at verse 1 of chapter 8, you see the Philistines there, I believe. Verse 2, the Moabites. The king of Zobah, verse 3. Verse 5, he defeated the Syrians. So he was fully establishing his kingdom. God was blessing, and the security was coming as God preserved David. You see that in verse 6. God preserved David everywhere. It says, my eyes fall on it here. There we go. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, verse 6, And the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And so God was doing an amazing thing and establishing the kingdom. God was delivering as he does. There was victory. God is a victorious God. And so David was now reigning over all of Israel. It says in verse 15 of chapter 8, and David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. So the kingdom was established. Things were going well. And at this point, we read then in chapter 9 that David began to look around and say, okay, I have some opportunity now. Things are settling down. Things are secure. David began to look around and he inquired about Saul's family and he asked, is there anything he could do to show kindness and compassion to them? Look at chapter 9, our text for today. Verse 1, it says, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness, the kindness of God unto him? You see, David recognized where his blessings came from. And he recognizes responsibility to show the kindness of God to others. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame in his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto him, unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel in Lodibar. I didn't practice them, okay? Then the king sent and fetched him out of the house of Makar, and so forth, from Lodibar. When Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. What wonderful kindness. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba and 15 sons and 20 servants had 15 sons and 20 servants. Good sized family. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. So you see the story that unfolded there. David was blessed by God greatly. He had conquered the surrounding nations. Things were secure. And he began to look around and say, now that I'm to this point, and I have experienced the blessings of God, and things are established, who can I be a blessing to? And he inquired after Saul, And was there any family left? And sure enough, there was one. A guy named Mephibosheth, who I think back in chapter 4, verse 4, if we were to read there, a guy who was lame on both of his feet because as his nurse, as a young child, his nurse was fleeing from the battle and the conflicts that were going on when Saul and Jonathan were killed. She was fleeing from that, and the Bible tells us how she accidentally dropped Mephibosheth, and it hurt his feet somehow that he couldn't walk the rest of his life. And so this was Mephibosheth, a guy who was a descendant of Saul, the enemy of David, a guy who didn't deserve this kindness, a guy who likely was hiding for his life. He was living in a place across the Jordan River on the other side, Transjordan, and just kind of keeping to himself. In fact, David didn't know he existed. And David found out about him and said, "That's who I'm going to bless. That's who I'm going to show kindness to." And so, number one, when to show compassion? When should we show compassion to others in our lives? Well, I would say, how about when your kingdom is established? When you have the opportunity and God has blessed you and he's given you abundance and you have that then to share with others. When your kingdom is established. When God has blessed you abundantly, look for abundant ways to bless others. The Bible says in Acts 17, verse 25, that God giveth to all life and breath and all things. You see, it is God who blesses us. It is God who gives all the things that we have, even the very breath that we breathe, the life that we have. And so we must recognize, because it's from him, it's really not ours anyway, right? And when God establishes our kingdom and things are secure and set, which is a wonderful place to be, many people aren't there. But if you're in that position, see it as an amazing opportunity that God has placed you in. And show compassion to others. Show kindness and love to others. Why? Because the world is looking for it. What about your neighbor? What about that person you work with? Is it or could it be that God would lay it on your heart to go out of your way to inquire to see if there's an opportunity for you to show kindness to them? Because the world needs to see genuine compassion, genuine kindness, even when maybe they don't deserve it. Maybe it's more in the realm of mercy, but the world needs that. Because God is the one who gives to all life and breath and all things. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17, it says, "Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee." And so Moses was instructing God's people back then, hey, as God has given you to you, give as you're able, because it's the blessing of the Lord, so you can do that. Ezra chapter 2, verse 69, they gave after their ability unto the treasure of the work. Acts chapter 11, verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. And so I just simply want to remind us this morning that God has blessed us greatly. And as he has blessed you, don't keep that for yourself. Don't hoard that for yourself because you can't take it with you. Use it as God leads you for the glory of God to show love and compassion and kindness to others. So when to show compassion, number one, when your kingdom is established. But number two, notice, when you're running for your life, do it too. This was not the first time David was showing compassion to others. Think back in David's life. You remember I mentioned David ran into Saul once or twice, or maybe more, as he was running for his life in the wilderness. Wandering around, trying to get away, hiding from King Saul. And he encountered they encountered each other, and what did David do in those times? One was in the oasis of En Gedi. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 6, there David encountered King Saul, and you remember the cave, and they hid in the sides of the cave, and there was King Saul taking a nap, and David could have taken his life at that moment. But David said in that verse 6 of 24, and he said unto his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." That was mercy. Boy, David was showing kindness and compassion even back when he was running for his life. Back when he was going through a difficult trial, a very discouraging and hard time of his life. It wasn't just when his kingdom was established, folks. It was back when he was going through his own trials too. That was one instance in the cave of En Gedi. Another was when David was on top of a hill and called across the hill to where King Saul was on the other side, and held up his spear and his water pitcher. Anyway, proved, King Saul, I could have taken your life last night. That was chapter 26 of 1 Samuel. And David said unto Abishai, it says there, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" Once again, David showed great mercy and kindness to King Saul. So you may be going through a crisis in your life. You may be going through a difficult time where you don't have the answers. You don't know maybe how all the bills will be paid. But if God leads you to show kindness and compassion to someone else, do it. I'm not saying it has to be financially. There's many ways that the world is looking for kindness. It may just be a smile. It may just be a kind word or a comment about the goodness of God that makes all the difference in someone's life and helps them see, no, not all Christians are hypocrites. There actually is some genuine love left in this world, some sacrificial love. There actually is some people who care for me. The world needs to see that. And it may be that it'll make much greater an impact when you show compassion during a time when you're running for your life. So show compassion when your kingdom is established. Show compassion when you are going through a difficult trial in your own life. When you feel like others should be caring for you, it's probably a good time for you to look for a way to be a blessing to others. So I wonder, are you getting the point? When to show compassion? Thirdly, to go a little further with this thought, when to show compassion? How about this? When you have already done it 100 times over, show compassion. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 9. I just want to simply point out that David said that Mephibosheth would eat at his table continually. Verse 7, you see it there. And he did in verse 13. That's exactly what Mephibosheth began to do. He began to eat at David's table continually. You know what? The day never came that David felt like, okay, I've paid my fair share. All right, I've taken care of Saul's descendants enough. He got 101 meals out of me now. No, King David never came to that point. He said continually, I want to go above and beyond to show you the love of God. And so when to show compassion? When your kingdom's established. When you're running for your life. When you've already done it 100 times over, show compassion. Because that's what our Lord has done for us. And we'll get to that. So aren't you glad that God does not limit his love for us? And so we must not do it for others. The point is that we need to get here. The Christian should always be ready to show compassion. No matter what stage of life we're in and what necessarily we think our ability is, we should be willing to listen to the Spirit of God to reach out and show genuine love. That doesn't mean necessarily always giving something physically. It may mean being there when they need you. It may mean listening. It may mean sending a text. It may mean praying with them. Whatever it needs to be, as the Spirit of God leads you in that moment, always be ready, dear Christian, to show the compassion and love of our Lord. Why? Because the world is looking for it. So number one, when to show compassion. Number two, let's notice together how to show compassion. I just want to simply point out some ways that David did this to show compassion to Mephibosheth. He did it, notice first of all, purposefully. You see, David went out of his way. He inquired, he sent, he fetched Mephibosheth, the Bible says, with the purpose of showing kindness, verses 1 through 5. He went looking for that opportunity rather than just basking in the established kingdom that he had and the comfort that he could then enjoy. No, he purposefully went out of his way. He recognized here is a need. If there's an opportunity here, there is an obligation. There's a need that I need to address. And so he purposefully looked into it. And I think we need to do it the same way in our lives, folks. We need to take time to analyze, to look around and say, okay, what are the needs around me? What about my neighbors? What about my coworkers? What about my family? What about my children? What about my friends at church and other folks here? What are the needs? Purposefully consider and to pray about it and ask the Lord to open up doors so that you can be a person of compassion. You can be a person showing genuine care and love of God. So we see purposefully he did it. We see he did it graciously. Graciously. So what is grace? Grace is getting something you don't deserve. I like that definition. It's so simple. I can understand it. It's getting something I don't deserve. And that's exactly what King David did here for Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth didn't deserve this. And he knew that very well. He said, how is it that you would show this kindness to me? I'm just a dead dog. Putting himself, using that language, very low. Of course, he even had the physical ailment, the lameness. And that would not have been... People would want to stay away from someone like that back then. Not like leprosy or anything like that, but they were just kind of second class. There were many things that person could not do. And so, in many ways, most importantly, Mephibosheth, being a descendant of the enemy of David, King Saul, he did not deserve this kindness. But that brings us back to a truth. Do any of us deserve the love and kindness of God? We'll think about that a little more before we're done, but David graciously cared for Mephibosheth. And so I want to ask you, friend, is there someone in your life who doesn't deserve it, but you know you should be showing it? Maybe it's that coworker that's very difficult. Show the love and compassion of God. Maybe it's that neighbor who throws their yard junk on your side of the line. Show the love and compassion of God. They don't deserve it, I know. But neither do we. And yet we've received it bountifully. So show that compassion purposefully, excuse me. Show it graciously. We see here also that David showed compassion indiscriminately. I mentioned how Mephibosheth was a cripple. He was lame in his feet. And you know what? David didn't command Mephibosheth to leave the table when important foreign diplomats were arriving. Okay, maybe that's speculation. I didn't read that in the Word of God. I get it. But it does say that that Mephibosheth was invited to eat at the table continually. This was a common thing. This was something that was supposed to happen every day. And I don't believe that David was going to say, okay, well, I got some important people coming now. Can you kind of disappear? Either way, however David dealt with his situations, we know from the Word of God that we ought to be showing the love and compassion of God to everyone we meet. Everyone. Not picking and choosing because maybe of their skin color, or maybe because of their financial status, or maybe because of some addictions that they have in their lives, or some sin problem in their life. And so, you know, I'll show partiality to these people, but not these over here. No, no, no. There is no place for that in the life of the Christian. The Bible says in 1 John 3, verse 17, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" You see, if we show compassion discriminately, the Bible says, how is it that you claim to have the love of God? How is it that you claim to be a loving, compassionate person, demonstrating the love that you have received, and yet that's how you treat other people? Before we move on, I just want to mention, you may be kind of be like Mephibosheth, and you may feel like you are at a disadvantage for some reason in your life. Do you realize that God is always working a perfect plan? Maybe it's been hard for you to deal with something in your life. God is always working a perfect plan. And this is a side note, but I look at this story and I realize that Mephibosheth likely would have been dead long before this point with all the other descendants of Saul, with the civil war and things that was going on, if it wasn't for the being lame and being a cripple. You see, he wasn't much of a threat. And so he was able to hide and stay under the radar. If it wasn't for God working a perfect plan in this man's life, he probably wouldn't even be alive here. And so God, I don't know what you may be struggling with in your life, but God has a good plan, and you trust him with that. So we must show compassion purposefully, graciously, indiscriminately. David did it bountifully. You see, it was much more than Mephibosheth could have imagined. And the Bible says in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Acts 20:35, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Number three. Why to show compassion. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. If you're taking notes, I encourage you, write down Matthew 10, 8. Because it says there, "Freely ye have received, freely give." Freely ye have received, freely give. You see, I just want to close with these thoughts. God has given us so much. And that's why we are obligated to show compassion to others. To that coworker that's not very nice, to that family member that's difficult to get along with, the neighbor, whatever, show compassion. Why? Because of what God has done for us. We see in the Word of God that we were helpless in our sins. Just like Mephibosheth was very helpless. He had a physical ailment. He wasn't in a position to be a threat to anybody. He was very helpless, and we are helpless in our sins. Without Jesus Christ, we would be condemned to an eternity separated from God because of our sin. Sometimes we think that we are really becoming someone special, something really great, but the truth is that we are helpless and lost in our sin, entirely unable to save ourselves. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's you, that's me, every one of us have broken God's law, and we're helpless in our sin. But we have been given mercy and forgiveness. It's a free gift that's available. You have to receive it, but it is offered. It is offered to you. God loved us. He had compassion on us. We were totally undeserving of his attention, just like Mephibosheth in this story. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so we have been offered mercy. We have been offered forgiveness. And the Bible teaches us that that is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus took our place. Many of us, if we were to try to get to heaven ourselves and get forgiveness ourselves, we'd try to think, we got to live a good life. We got to have our own righteousness, and hopefully that will be good enough to earn forgiveness for our sins. But it'll never work. It's only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the work that he did. And so we have the opportunity to partake in the blessings of a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. We can feast at the table of the King forever. He wants us to be close to him. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." What does it mean to sup with someone? What's up, man? No, that's not what it means. What it means is supper, okay? To eat together. And that's what God wants us to be able to do with him someday. And that's what David wanted Mephibosheth to be able to do with him, to partake in all those blessings of the relationship. And we have that opportunity to have a relationship with God. And we will not be rejected because of our imperfections. Mephibosheth wasn't rejected because he was a cripple, because he was a descendant of King Saul. And God is not going to reject us either, because nothing we can do can break his love for us. When you are in Jesus Christ, when you have trusted in what Jesus has already done for you, not what you could try to do yourself, and you have received the forgiveness of God offered through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, then you're in. You will not be rejected. You are saved, and you can never lose that. Our salvation is secure because God always keeps his promises, and he said it's secure in this book. Romans 10:12-13, it says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek." I'm thankful that God does not discriminate. "There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." See, God wants to give blessing. He wants to give salvation unto all that will call upon him. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Oh, that's a wonderful truth. It's not just some. It's not just a select few. It's anyone. Anyone who realizes they are helpless in their sin. Anyone who realizes Jesus is the answer. Anyone who realizes that they cannot save ourselves, and they turn to Jesus for that salvation. The Bible calls it believing in him, trusting in him. I like the word depending upon Jesus, because it's about what he did, not what you could try to do, that saves you. It's all Jesus. "And so whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so I ask, have you? Have you? Because God has shown so much love and compassion to us, and it would be a horrible thing to turn away from it all and say, no, thank you. So why do we show compassion to others? Of Of course, God commands us to do it, but it's because freely have ye received, freely give. Because God has given us so much love and kindness, and who are we to look at those around us and not do the same? Friends, I want to leave with this. Remember, the world is looking for a genuine demonstration of compassion. There are people that we encounter all the time who have grown up in broken homes, haven't had any love in that home, no compassion, and they are just waiting to finally find someone in life who truly cares. Of course, we know that Jesus cares more than anyone can. But he wants to use us and the compassion we can show to introduce them to who he is, to his love. And so will you show them what genuine love looks like? Will you have compassion toward those who have wronged you? Will you love the unlovely? Will you bountifully care for those in need? You see, your choice to show the love of God could change someone's eternity. That's an amazing, amazing thought that we have such an opportunity. David saw a wonderful opportunity to show love and compassion to a man named Mephibosheth. Who is it that God would want to use you to show his love to? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we need your help in this. Our natural tendency is to be very selfish. Our natural tendency is to be very focused on our things all the time. And Lord, it is not natural for us to go out of our way like David did to show your love. And so I pray, Lord, would you help us this week? Even. Would you give us opportunity this week to make a difference in someone else's life? And Lord, we pray that you would use it to change their eternal destiny, to draw them to the love and the forgiveness that can be found in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom in this endeavor, that you would place it heavy on our hearts, and that you would use us this week. And if there's someone here this morning who has never experienced the love of God, who has never accepted the truth of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for their sins, Lord, I pray that you would help them to see the truth of the gospel today and that you would draw them to yourself, that they would be saved, that they would place their faith in Jesus alone. Lord, please do whatever work is needed in our lives today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and